Welcome to Dolphin Radio. I'm Steve, and you are listening to the pod presented by California State University at Channel Islands, the show connecting students and faculty for the purpose of collaboration and education. The pod is sponsored by the Center for Integrative Studies, the organized source for information and support to apply and share knowledge on campus. Today, we are welcomed by Dr. Nancy Chen. Dr. Chen is an assistant professor of communication and is the head of the health communication department here at CI. She collected her PhD from the University of Southern California. And in today's episode, Dr. Chen walks us through one of her most impactful studies that she has been a part of in her professional career called the Alhambra Project. Alhambra is a town in northeast Los Angeles, and Dr. Chen shares her research in her efforts to enhance interaction and civic engagement in Alhambra and more. Near the end of the episode, Dr. Chen also shares what she would tell her undergraduate self if she could go back and offer some advice knowing what she knows now. We hope you enjoy. Let's get into the show. All right, we are here on Dolphin Radio. We are lucky to be sitting down with Dr. Nancy Chen today. And so Dr. Chen, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to come on the pod and speak with Dr. Nam and I. Dr. Nam is here, the head of CIS, our sponsor. And again, thanks, Dr. Chen, for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And so you've done a lot of very interesting things on campus these past few years. And upon doing some research and communicating with you beforehand, we wanted to kind of zero in on some of the projects that you've completed. Again, the CIS integration for this podcast is mostly to connect students and research faculty members for the purpose of undergrad research and that collaboration in that aspect. So could you tell us about the Alhambra Project and explain to our listeners its significance and how you became onto that research topic?
Okay, so the Alhambra Project is a project that started in 2008, and I was myself a graduate student at that time. The project is actually part of a larger umbrella project called the Metamorphosis Project, and that project basically aims to explore different ways in which communication can be utilized to enhance civic engagement in diverse communities throughout the United States and also internationally. So back in 2008, my mentor at my graduate school at USC, she and the director of the journalism school there, so Dr. Borokij and Dr. Parks, they came together and they wanted to figure out if they could use a research-based, theory-driven approach to develop a local news initiative to enhance intergroup interaction and civic engagement in the city of Alhambra, which is a very diverse community, and it's known to have relatively low civic engagement levels compared to eight different neighborhoods that they have studied in Los Angeles. At the time, I was taking one of my first classes as a grad student at USC with Dr. Borokij. So I learned about this project. I became really interested, not just in terms of the goal of the project, but one of the ethnic communities in Alhambra is the ethnic Chinese community. Oh. And I'm from Taiwan, so I speak the language, I know the culture, and I'm really interested in trying to figure out ways to tackle the challenges facing this community particularly. And so I was really interested in the project. I signed up, and I have been involved with the project ever since. Wow. For more than a decade now.
Wow. And so you said you were at USC for grad school, and where were you at undergrad?
Well, so my past is pretty interesting. I got my bachelor's in communication from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
After that, I'm originally from Taiwan. So I went back to Taiwan. I work as a public relations officer at the Centers for Disease Control there for a few years. And so that's why my main focus in teaching here at CI is health communication, because I'm really passionate about finding different ways to effectively communicate about health with different population groups. And then after that job, I decided that I want to learn more about health communication. So I came to the United States and I did my master's and my PhD at USC.
Wow. Okay. So again, you are the health comm. Are you the head of the health comm department?
Well, so our HouseCom team at CI, we have a few different instructors, myself and then Dr. Catherine Elder and also Vivian Henshi. We've been taking turns teaching different HouseCom related classes, which include right now health communication, cross-cultural communication in health, and also health media campaign.
Wow. Okay, and then back on, touching on the Alhambra Project, I believe, Dr. Nam, you have a few questions regarding that research in particular, is that correct?
Yeah, so that project sounds very interesting, and you also talked about how that project is a segment of larger project. Could you give us a little bit more about what other projects are part of this bigger project, please?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I became involved in the Metamorphosis Project back in 2008 when I became a graduate student at USC. But my understanding is that the larger umbrella project, the Metamorphosis Project, started in the late 1990s. And basically, it has something to do with the uprising earlier in the 1990s after the Rodney King beating. And then there was a lot of tension in the communities in Los Angeles specifically. So the principal investigator of the Metamorphosis Project and also my mentor at USC, Dr. Bro Rokic, she was looking at what's happening in local communities, and she was trying to figure out if there's a way where communication can be utilized to equalize some of the disparities and gaps in civic engagement in local communities in Los Angeles. And so she launched this project basically just wanting to improve the civic health of our communities in general, and trying to see how different types of communication, whether it's interpersonal communication, mass mediated communication, online communication, or organizational communication, can be leveraged to enhance intergroup understanding and civic participation across the lines of race and ethnicity and class.
Yeah, so I just really love some of the principles of Alhambra Project, in the sense that you really promoted citizen journalism and trying to engage ethnic communities from grassroots level, so that the programs that you designed really involve ethnic communities' voice and opinions, right? And so for the projects that you are doing, you seems to be, again, communication expert, because you involve many other researchers in your projects. So especially for Alhambra Project, you involve other co-authors of different locations and different cultural backgrounds. So how was it like to work with others with different backgrounds, especially in a long distance? What was it like?
Well, so working with people from diverse backgrounds has been really eye-opening and educational for me. Just because even though, we are all researchers, we have the same similar academic training, but everybody has a unique cultural insight because of their different backgrounds. So when we were doing brainstorming, everybody was able to introduce some great points that I couldn't have thought of myself, just because of where I come from. My own cultural backgrounds tends to color my own lenses through which I see the world. So it's a very rich experience working with people from diverse backgrounds. Like you mentioned, sometimes we had to work together long distance. And thanks to new communication technologies, technologies have made things really easy for us. So if somebody cannot join a meeting, they can always, Skyping virtually. And, all the meetings are follow up with the email detailing the questions that were discussed and remaining concerns, so that people can communicate through emails. I really enjoy working with people from multiple different cultures, and I really appreciate the advantage we have in teamwork and collaboration because of the new technologies we have.
That sounds wonderful. So actually, I myself was in LA during LA riot, so I know what that was like and the tension between different ethnic groups. So I really support this effort to promote conversations and bridges among different ethnic groups. But the project, Alhambra Project itself, it appears that the project succeeded in soliciting, in engaging each community to the project, while I didn't see how different ethnic communities can really interact with each other. And I don't know whether that was part of your project or that was something that you aimed but didn't happen. How did that work out?
That's a great question. So that was definitely the goal, one of the goals of the project, where we really wanted to promote intergroup interaction and conversations and understanding among the different ethnic groups living in Alhambra. So the major ethnic groups living in Alhambra are ethnic Chinese, Latinos, and also non-Hispanic whites.
Right.
So based on our research, we were able to demonstrate that people who are regular visitors to the Alhambra Source website are way more civically engaged compared to people who are not exposed to the local news website. However, because we didn't use what's called a panel study, which means we followed the same people over time, we couldn't really say their higher level of civic engagement, the higher level of civic engagement we see among users is a result of their connection with the website. This could be, you know, explained by maybe people who are already active in having interpersonal conversation with others and who are already active civically are more likely to turn to the website as an information source, right? So the cause and effect cannot really be determined that way because we didn't really do a panel study. However, we do have anecdotes from different people that kind of demonstrate the project has succeeded maybe in a more limited fashion and yet in promoting cross-cultural understanding. So to give you two examples, maybe one of the examples is that when we interview city employees, people work in the city hall, they told us that before they really had really limited understanding of the interests and concerns of the Chinese residents living in Alhambra. Because the majority of the Chinese residents there are first generation immigrants, compared to the Latino residents there, which are usually third or fourth or many generations who have really settled in the community, they speak English really well. So it's not really as much a challenge to understand their concerns and interests compared to the Chinese population. But with the Alhambra Source, what we have been doing is we encourage the Chinese residents to write stories about their local concerns. And we also translate headlines from the ethnic Chinese media on a weekly basis into English. And so by accessing our website, local officials have been able to get a better understanding of the questions and concerns of the local Chinese residents in Alhambra so that those can be factored into their decision making. Another example is that we have been doing a lot of outreach activities to promote the Alhambra Source. And one of the groups that we connected with was the local police department. And so the police department really wanted to engage the Chinese residents because, you know, there's a lot of emergency or immediate public safety information that they wanted to get out there to all the residents. And they also wanted the residents to be more open in reporting different incidents or what they have seen that may be of concern to the police department. But they felt like they had challenges communicating across cultural and language barriers before. Now, once we reached out to the local police department and we shared some of our research findings with them, they launched a Weibo page. And Weibo is basically the Chinese Twitter because that's one of the social media platforms one of the social media platforms that were most widely utilized by Chinese, either in China or in overseas, right? Here in the United States, a lot of Chinese residents continue to follow this social media platform. So they actually, the Alhambra Police Department became the first U.S. police department to launch a Weibo site. Mm-hmm. So they communicate with the local Chinese residents, you know, in a very timely fashion through this social media platform because they know the residents actually use the platform. And they also encourage the Chinese residents to ask questions, to share their concerns, to report what they have seen through this website to engage in two-way communication with the local police department. So those are anecdotes that kind of demonstrate that Alhambra source has had an impact in promoting cross-cultural understanding and communication in Alhambra. And of course, it would be great if in the future we have enough time and resources to do a panel study to kind of more systematically demonstrate the effects of the Alhambra source and the Alhambra project in encouraging cross-ethnic connection.
Yeah, that in this polarized political and cultural climate, in this very anti-immigration mood of this country, I think the project, Alhambra Project, has a lot of important lessons to be shared with the general public, I believe. So my last question to you is, what are some of the lessons that you learned from doing this project and you representing, you know, cross-cultural life experience as an individual and as a researcher about how we can get along? Remember that Rodney King's famous saying, you know, let's get along. And what are some of the lessons that you'd like to share with the audience about how do we get along? Why we need to get along?
So I've learned so many things from the Alhambra Project. One of the things I have learned is that despite our diversity, we actually share more similarities than differences. However, sometimes it's not apparent because of maybe the language barriers we face, right? So communication is the key. Once we start talking to each other, we will probably realize that, you know, despite our differences, we all have a lot of collective interest that we need to pursue together, either as members of the same local community or members of the same nation, right? Talk is the key, communication is the key. And of course, I'm biased because I'm a communication scholar. And of course, there are, you know, different ways that people engage in conversations. And so in communication, we talk about, you know, these two ideas, dialogue versus debate, right? So when it comes to dialogue, it means that just letting everybody really share their genuine, authentic voices, right? So on the Alhambra Source website, the majority of the content is contributed by the residents themselves, because we really want to hear people's authentic voices. We want them to share their life experiences, because it is through exposure to such lived experience that we can come to understand each other a little better. So, you know, on a daily basis, whether you are in a classroom or, with your friends or family, we might have some disagreements or differences, but if when we talk with each other, we always do so with the idea that we are really curious about each other's motivations. We really respect each other's opinions no matter what. The goal of the talk is always to achieve a common understanding, a middle ground, and kind of a compromise, rather than, you know, needing to win this particular conversation or debate. Then I think we can learn so much more from each other, and we might still remain, we might still not agree with everything, but at least that's a good starting point for us to begin to get a better understanding of where everybody's coming from and see where we can converge and to come up with a collective solution.
Yeah, I cannot agree any more than that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nunn.
Yeah, great. And along with this big project, I feel, because you've been working on it for about a decade, you said, right? So have you been able to, like, tie in more research on the side as well around it, or what other research projects have you been able to, you know, work on your time here at CI as well? I'm assuming maybe a lot, or is it only a few because of this big project?
Well, so I've been working on different projects after I joined CI. So I joined CI in August 2014. Mm-hmm. And my interest in research is mostly in what we call applied research.
Right.
So applied research is basically a type of research where at the end of the day, you can translate your research findings into some sort of practical solutions to some collective challenges.
Okay, yeah.
And so one of the projects I have worked on here at CI is I've been working with a local foundation that's called the McCune Foundation. And the McCune Foundation basically has been founding community organizations in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties for a few decades.
Wow.
So my interest is still in civic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation realized a few years ago that in addition to financial resources, a lot of time local organizations really need more systematic training to be able to engage in introducing social change, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because when you are trying to introduce social change, you are usually facing really powerful institutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to change the status quo, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
and that's difficult.
Right.
So in addition to having money and financial resources, you really need to have the know-hows. You need to know how to demonstrate that you have power and your voices matter when
mm-hmm.
you are facing institutions that are so powerful.
Yeah,
and
you can feel pretty small, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the projects I've been working on with the foundation is that they have invited trainers from two well-known national institutes to come to our local areas to provide training to local organizations on how to organize effectively.
Okay.
They realize that it is important to systematically evaluate those trainings, right? And then try to figure out how they can be tailored to our local needs and wants.
Okay.
So over the past few years, I've been working with about maybe a dozen students, undergrad students at CI, in evaluating those initiatives.
Perfect.
So we have conducted baseline surveys with local organizations prior to the trainings. We have participated in the training ourselves to do field observations, and we have conducted post-training interviews to see how the organizations are doing in implementing the lessons learned from the training and what are some of the challenges they have encountered in order to develop a set of recommendations for the foundations moving forward as they continue with this initiative. So that has been a really exciting project for me, not only because I am able to become more involved with local nonprofits and seeing the wonderful work they are doing,
mm.
but also because I've been able to involve my students in
yeah.
this effort. And our students are so wonderful.
Yeah.
When they went to the training to talk with training participants to engage in research, I cannot tell you, you know, how appreciative the participants were, and the foundation was two of those students, because they really show incredible energy. And also, just like I was mentioning about working with people from diverse backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
they really share perspectives that I weren't able to see myself. They really share observations during the training that I couldn't see myself
yeah.
because of my limited or, you know, the way that I have been molded into a researcher, right?
Like your scope, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that has been really informative and educational to me.
Great. And it's perfect because that's kind of the point of this podcast. We're trying to, you know, give information to students on how they can really get involved. So where were you able to gather these students? Were they just specifically from your class and you approached them, or did they approach you, or how was the recruitment process, or how did they become on board specifically?
So there's a few different ways.
Mm-hmm.
In my classes, sometimes I talk about my own research.
Yeah.
And some of the students, if they are interested, they will come see me during my office hours.
Okay.
And then talk with me about how they can be involved. It doesn't have to be a project that I'm personally working on. I also take on independent study students. So say if a student has an interest, and if I feel like I will be able to help guide in with that particular project, you
mm-hmm.
know, we always figure out something together in the student's area of interest to work on. With regard to the McCune Foundation project, in addition to talking about it in my class, I also just send out emails to, especially in the communication program here,
mm-hmm.
students have to do a capstone project,
right?
So this is during their last semester here at CI. They can choose to work on a research project or service learning project
mm-hmm.
Throughout the entire semester as one of their kind of culminating experiences.
Right.
So I send out an email to students who are about to start their capstone class the following semester, and I advertise this project and this opportunity. And, you know, I ask students who are interested to apply, and I usually get really good candidates this way as well. So it's really a combination of me reaching out to the students and also students taking initiative to schedule meetings, to meet with me, to talk about their interest, and to see if we can work collectively on something.
That's great. And were you actually able to partake in any undergrad research when you were in Australia?
Well, so actually, I didn't really get to participate that much in undergrad research with the professor. We had research assignments that we had to do. So the professors, of course, gave us really good guidelines about how to collect data, analyze information. But it's usually me working independently as a student rather than really participating in a project with the professor. So I think what's really great here at CI is that undergraduate students have so many opportunities to work with their professors.
Exactly.
And this is not common. I mean, like at some of the other universities, usually it's the graduate students who have more opportunities to work with professors, right? But here at CI, undergraduate students have a large number of different opportunities to collaborate with their professors, either, you know, on an individual basis, or there are dedicated initiatives on campus that encourage undergraduate research over summer and during the semester.
Right.
So I think definitely students should capitalize on those, especially if you are interested in research, either, you know, because you want to get into graduate school in the future, or if you want to work in a job that require you to do research, right? So you might work in market research, you might work for a research institute in the future. Those experiences during your undergraduate years would be really, really valuable.
Yeah, just get a head start almost, because I think also what we've learned is not just at CI, but in general as well, like undergrad research in general is becoming increasingly more important. And so it's pretty cool here that we kind of take that approach and we put that into kind of on a pedestal of things that are important here on campus. But how important do you think undergrad research really is? I mean, obviously you kind of just touched on it a little bit, but you think that's a trend right now that's really going to start taking off, and right now at CI is a great opportunity to kind of get your foot in that undergrad research door?
Yeah, so I definitely see that something that has a great emphasis has been placed upon undergrad research, especially among the CSU campuses, right?
Okay.
So that's one of the, I think it's one of the key goals we are trying to achieve as a whole within the CSU system.
Mm-hmm.
At CI, I think we are especially in a unique position because we are the newest CSU campus, which means a lot of things are still being created, right?
Yeah.
So as students and as faculty here, we have a lot of opportunities to create something together. And I think we can see a dedicated effort on campus to make undergrad research especially one of the key initiatives that we want to really get started on and do really well. And so I think this is a great time for students to get involved with their professors in undergrad research. And like I said, our students are amazing. Whenever I work with them, I see how much insights they bring into the research and how much they have broadened my horizon, right, in working with them. So, you know, learning is always two-way. I really appreciate CI putting this emphasis on undergrad research because I think it benefits not just the students, but also faculty.
Yeah, I agree. And so I remember you were saying how you also talked about some of your research in class, but people would, and you sent out an email, people would come to your office hours. But what would be your biggest piece of advice for a student who is looking to become more involved with research on campus? Just kind of, do you think they should just be more proactive or keep their ears open, or what would you suggest?
Well, so personally, I think if you are interested in research, trying to make an appointment with every single one of your instructors, because most of us are working on something that's interesting research-wise, but we might not always talk about it in class because it might not fit with the scope of a particular class we are teaching. But if you just come to our office hours, sit down with us, you know, ask us about our research projects and also tell us about your interest. Even if we might not feel like we can work together, I might know some other professors on campus who can give you better guidance with regard to the area of interest you have. So I think just reaching out, talking to your professors, and also maybe talking to other students to see if they are involved with an undergrad research project, how they got involved. And so that would definitely give you a good starting point in your journey into undergrad research.
Yeah, but just don't be afraid, right?
Exactly.
Right. And my final question, if you could go back and talk to undergrad student Nancy Chen, what piece of advice do you think you would give yourself knowing what you know now?
Well, I would definitely tell myself to get a head start on a lot of things, undergrad research being one of them.
Good.
Like I mentioned, I didn't really have that many opportunities in doing undergrad research when I was an undergrad student myself.
Right.
And so part of it, probably because maybe I wasn't effectively reaching out to all my professors, right? So I will definitely tell myself, to engage with that conversation with professors. And also I would tell myself, in addition to undergrad research, there are so many other wonderful opportunities on campus that I wish I had capitalized upon, right? So, for example, I never took a study abroad, program. And I know there are different study abroad programs at CI. There are short-term ones, long-term ones, half-year, yearly programs that you can take advantage of. So I would just say, keep your eyes open, talk to people, try to seize all the amazing opportunities you have as an undergrad student, because I think college years, those are the formation years for a person, and just capitalize on as many opportunities as possible, because it will really make a big difference in your future life and your future career.
Great. Well, I think thanks again for coming on today. I think you gave some really good insight to Dr. Nam and myself and for our listeners. So thanks again for taking time out of your busy day and coming to spread some words for us. Thanks.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Dr. Chen touches on some key points that we can all take in as undergrad students. Be proactive in your research, seek guidance on campus, and also capitalize on amazing opportunities such as study abroad programs that we are all so lucky to have at our disposal. I agree with her point that college is the formation years for a person, and you never know what can come of an opportunity, big or small. You have been listening to The Pod, the show connecting students and faculty for the purpose of collaboration and education. I'm Steve, and we will see you next episode.